This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Rappaport to the rescue with award-winning animal advocate, best-selling author, journalist, and pet products creator, Jill Rappaport.
Hi, welcome to this edition of Rappaport to the Rescue. I am Jill Rappaport. I just literally got home last night, very late, after driving back from Michigan, my hometown. I went to spend my birthday there with my wonderful mother, who's going to be 97 years young. She is truly my role model, brilliant, beautiful, a mind as sharp as a tack. She doesn't miss a beat. The minute I walk in the door, she'll say, I think you could have worn a better color sweater with those pants. And she is so much fun. And I had such a wonderful time spending my birthday with her. And you know, birthdays each year, you get a little older, as we all know. And I always want to do something very special to celebrate my birthday, to really make it a day to remember. And this year, there was only one thing I wanted to do, and that was to go see the movie, The Friend. And I had two reasons for wanting to do that. First and foremost, it's about a rescue dog. So, of course, I had to go see this movie starring Naomi Watts. But more important, it was about the person behind the movie, the person that actually trained the rescue dog. And that is our dear friend. And of course, you know him from this show, the wonderful, incredible trainer, Bill Berlone. He is the reason this movie happened. He is the man behind the dog. So I am so excited to catch up with Bill, because if you remember, he was a regular on this show. But the last year between the movie and all his Broadway shows, where he's cast all these incredible rescue animals in these shows like Gypsy, Left on 10th, Bill has been one busy boy. But today, he is our main guest. We are going to talk all about the movie The Friend with him and see what he has been up to. And I am so thrilled and honored to have him on. What an incredible job he did with this movie. I was crying, and when you go see it, if you haven't already, you will too. So when we come back, Bill Berlone, stay tuned.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hi, welcome back to Rappaport to the Rescue. I'm Jill Rappaport. You're heard in the open. The one, the only, my dear friend, the most incredible animal trainer there is, Bill Berlone. You're back on the show. It's been way too long, Bill.
It's been way too long, Jill. Yes, I agree.
Well, you've been so busy. It's not like you wanted to be away from the podcast. It's because you have been working nonstop on movies, on Broadway shows, TV shows. This is like a big deal to get you to be even a guest today. So we're very grateful you're here. Tell us about what you've been up to the last year, all of your projects, and of course, The Friend.
Oh, my goodness. We've been blessed with a lot of wonderful projects. So much filming has come back to the East Coast, which is part of the reason there's a renaissance of movie and independent films and television shows. But just to start off the top of the list, we did two Broadway shows this season. First was a play by Delia Ephrons called Left on 10th, and we had two dogs in that with Juliana Margulies and Peter Gallagher.
And you know, I did an ABC special based on the show, thanks to you, featuring you.
Yeah, and talked about the rescue dogs in that show. And a revival, an acclaimed revival of Gypsy with Audra McDonald playing the lead role and our little dog playing her dog, Chowsey. So, you know, a Broadway show just to set up is 3 to 6 months right there of preparation and then the running of it. But we've also been doing some great TV series, the Sex and the City sequel and Just Like That, wrapped filming, and we had not only a bulldog character that was a recurring character, but now Sarah Jessica Parker's character has a cat in every episode. So we were working every week on that. Last year, we did season 3 of Only Murders in the Building. Two great characters, a dog character that played a cadaver dog and a pig that's lost in the building. You know, so again, being available for shows that are shooting episodes, you know, you have to be ready at any moment to come in. And things like Super Bowl commercials and small, you know, independent films. So it's, we've been, again, very busy this year.
Oh, okay. So now you're excused. That explains why you haven't been on the podcast all this time. But meanwhile, all of the top shows, you talk about Murders in the Building. I just want to know, aside from the dogs, did you witness the blossoming romance between Meryl Streep and Martin Short?
I unfortunately did not. I don't believe there was one scene with Meryl Streep. I mean, I've worked with her before, and I would have said hello to her if I saw her on the set. But I don't think the animals were any of her scenes.
Oh, well, we'll have to see if you get them in the next few episodes, and you'll have to keep us updated about that, because what an incredible cast and a great show for you to be a part of.
Oh, yeah. I didn't work on season 1 and 2, and for whatever reason, they weren't satisfied with the animal trainers, and we came into season 3. So, in fact, we shot an episode for season 4 3 days ago. So, you know, our dog is back walking the streets of the Arconia.
Oh, how wonderful. And in the series, and just like that, your bulldog is Kristen Davis's character's bulldog in the show. And also with this cat, Sarah Jessica Parker, is that the cat that she actually adopted named Shu?
I wish. In season 1, at the end of it, last episode, Sarah decided she wanted to have a kitten, or a character to have a cat. So we had a kitten audition, and we picked this beautiful little gray kitten, which as soon as we started shooting with it, she started falling in love with it and saying, Bill, my husband's going to kill me. My kids want this cat. I can't have another. I have two cats. You know, well, show wraps and she takes the cat home and I help integrate it into her home. So that was great. Oh, wonderful. Season 2, the kitten's coming back. Well, now the kitten is a full grown cat, which means we have to find 2 matching kittens that we can work with to play the kitten from season 1. So we did that. We got through season 2. And by then, those kittens have become very large. And fortunately, they decided in season 3 to write them as adult cats. So the 2 cats we had in season 2 came back and doubled their role for season 3.
Well, that's such an interesting conundrum, because if you are dealing with puppies and kittens and they have a reoccurring role, you know, God willing, they have to come back as dogs and cats.
Well, yeah. And, you know, we have these wonderful 2 cats living in an apartment in my apartment in New York, unemployed. So we don't know when they're going to go back to work. But that's the magic of filming. You know, it's making those impossible things happen. And it's a little more difficult with animals, but not impossible.
Well, it's so interesting that you say we have these 2 wonderful cats living in Manhattan. People should know that when you literally rescue these animals off the streets, many in very dire situations, and they go on to become stars in their own right, you give them a home for life, don't you?
Yes, unless someone in my family wants it. You know, so when Sarah Jessica asked if she could have a kitten, I thought, well, she'll keep it in the family in case we need it for season 2, but didn't happen that way.
And how many animals are you and Dorothy, your wonderful wife, how many do you have in what I call the Berlone arc right now?
Right now, we have 26 dogs, 4 cats, 3 donkeys, and a macaw.
And how many of this menagerie are actually employed?
Like I said, the 2 of the cats are on hold. They're waiting for their show to start back up. The dogs are going in and out of shows. There's a lot of theater shows happening now around the country. So I'd say probably 10 dogs are employed and 2 cats are on hold.
It's just such an incredible life. And our listeners should understand what this entails. Not only the full-time training. Bill is the pet parent to all of these animals, and their welfare comes first and foremost with Bill. Bill, I don't need to speak for you by saying you don't care what kind of a production it is, how much money, how famous. All that matters is that they're taken care of and safe. That's the bottom line with you, always has been. And I witnessed it firsthand. We've done so many projects together, but the most recent ABC special I did, going behind the scenes of Left on 10th with Juliana Margulies, it was so incredible because the 2 rescue dogs are on stage for, you know, a limited time going in and out. They clearly were the stars of the show. The audience went nuts, but Bill was there every single day bringing them on the stage, taking them off the stage, the typical stage mother being nervous, looking out, making sure everything was okay. This is every single day. You just don't send them off to work and then you wait for them to come home. You are with them 24/7.
Correct. And I think in a human world, they're working. In the animal world, they just have to have a good time. Because if they're not happy, if they're not healthy, they're not going to want to do anything. So it's really controlling an environment where, yeah, somebody's paying me money to make something happen. But for the animals, I have to keep them in their happiest, safest, most forward self as I possibly can.
And not always hitting it out of the park the first time. Even with Left on 10th, one of the dogs had to be replaced due to a situation that wasn't the best for them.
Yep. You know, when I pick a dog to adopt, I look for an outgoing, friendly dog that I think would enjoy the work. And we do a very slow sort of testing. We do the training. We start in desensitizing them to a lot of stuff. And if any point in that process, if they decide they don't like what we're doing, then we rehome them pretty much immediately and put a replacement in. Well, in Left on 10th, we had a male Havanese and a female Havanese. And the female Havanese came from a puppy mill. So she was somewhat sheltered, but she was outgoing and loving. She loved the rehearsal. She loved all the attention she got from the stars. We got to the theater, big empty space. You know, the set was like a living room. So she was happy with that, hanging out with the actors. And then during our first previews, when the audience filled up and there was a reaction, she got very nervous. As any dog would, we had taken her to some other theaters and had her in the back and let her hear everything, but she was in my arms. So by the third preview, I noticed she was looking out. Her tail was a little bit low. She wasn't running as fast, and I knew that was a sign she wasn't having a good time. So I went out to the director, famous Susan Stroman, and our producer, Dale Roth, during a tech rehearsal, and I said, we have to replace the dog, very calmly. And they went, what? We were open the show. You know, we got the show running. How could you do that? And I said, we have to. She's becoming more and more distressed. And in three shows, she's not going to walk out on stage. So I have another dog at home that's an old pro. We'll bring her in, and which is what we did. And at the time, all the marketing, all the publicity had been, all the photos had been taken of this little white dog. And, you know, they wanted to keep it quiet. And I said, I think you should go public with it. I think the audience should know that when an animal isn't having a good time, we don't hide it. We fix it. And in this case, it was bringing another actor in. And I think that's admirable as opposed to looking at it as a failure, you know?
Well, you are only about the well-being, first and foremost. And now I want to talk about the movie that literally made me cry. The bond, this dog in the friend. It was so unbelievable, Bill. I think I texted you even before the movie was over. I called you the second I saw your credit up on the screen. I was so proud of you. I have never seen a dog so incredibly trained in so many intense situations, from sadness to happiness to aggressiveness to every sort of emotion. That dog displayed to perfection, thanks to you.
First off, is the film of my dreams. I had always wanted to be able to collaborate on a film like this and tell a story that was very important about the human-animal bond. And 6 years ago, the writers, directors, they're a production team that have done many independent films, David Siegel and Scott McGehee, got a cold call saying, we're doing this film, you know, it stars a Great Dane. Can we send you the script? And I said, sure. So they sent me the script. I read it. It was beautiful, based on the book by Singren Nunez about this relationship a woman has with a dog. And I called them back and said, I'm sorry, you can't shoot this. And so I can't help you. And they were a little taken back, like, really? I said, yeah, Great Danes are not the easiest breed to train. And I don't think you're going to find one that can do it. And they went, okay. So a few weeks later, they called me back and they had talked to a couple other trainers who said, oh no, this is easy. Oh, we could do this. And it got them thinking to maybe we should call that guy back and find out why he turned us down. And when they did, I explained to them that, again, given the nature of this film and the nature of the breed, first we'd have to find this Harlequin Great Dane with cropped ears and testicles somewhere in the country, train it and prepare it to be in a movie, because there is no already trained dog to do it. And secondly, I know you have a story to tell and I'll help you tell it with what the dog can do. So we're going to go in together as a collaboration. You know, again, it's your story, but there may be ways we have to shoot it, set it up so that the dog will do what you need it to do. And they very gratefully brought me as a collaborator. So searched the, you know, took us 8 or 9 months to find, and we saw probably 50 or 60 Great Danes across the country. I mean, we'd call, people would say, come look at them. We'd look at them. They'd try to bite us. It was not working. And then we were in Iowa on a trip. We went to Minneapolis, St. Louis, and Iowa to a small breeder. And her name is Bev Klingensmith. She works at Wells Fargo. She has two kids. And she breeds Great Danes once a year. And she also trains. She volunteer trains at the local training center at night. So she had a year and a half old dog. And she said, well, okay. Actually, she got the email and she put it in the trash. And she tells us, you know, a couple of days later, she pulled it out and thought, well, maybe this is real. And she called. And so I spoke with her and she knew who I was and agreed for us to meet her. And when I met her and her dog, within 5 minutes, I turned to the two filmmakers and I said, if we don't hire this dog, I'm going to bring it to New York and make a fortune off of it because this is a Great Dane like anything I've never seen. And again, and I've said this to Bev, I said, you know, she had the relationship and the balance with this dog that I have with my dogs. And that's rare to find. So she agreed to participate in the film. And originally, this was back in 2019, my thought was, well, I'll take him. I'll train him. And she agreed to that so that, because if she were on the set and there was Naomi, me and her, he'd be focused on the owner, on his mama.
We're talking about Naomi Watts and also Bill Murray.
Yes, I had the dog. He was living with me. And 3 weeks before we started shooting in February 2020, COVID hit. So I returned him back to Iowa. And between COVID and when movies sort of lose steam, it's hard to get them going again, as you know. And they got it going. Then there was the SAG strike. So then there was another pause. So by the time I got the call in the fall of 24, they said, we're going to start shooting in 3 months. And Naomi Watts is on, Bill Murray's on, we got to go quick. I said to them, you know, I can't take a six-year-old dog away from its owner and train it. He's just going to be depressed. He's going to miss his family.
Especially since Great Danes have a life expectancy of 8 years old. I mean, he's a senior at this point.
And I remember saying to them, so we have to bring the owner with us and I'll have to figure out a way to make this happen. They said, well, but isn't it going to be distracting? We don't have a choice. And it's going to cost you twice as much now because we have to have two people on set. Actually, we had four of us. So she came out and we started shooting the film. And again, from the beginning, every scene, every shot, every angle, every prop, everything that was in that script was collaborated to deal with a Great Dane. And as we were prepping for it, in one of our meetings, I said, you know, in theater, we work with the actors. They learn how to be trainers. The dogs interact with them on a live stage. I would love to do that in this film. And they were like, but stars don't do that. You know, you can't ask them to work before the first day of shooting. And I said, well, can we ask at least? And they did. And Naomi Watts, the consummate professional that she is and dog lover, she does her research for every role that she does. You know, she just doesn't sit back. So when we approached her and said, can we come and train with you and the dog? She was promoting the series about the swans. So she was flying all over the country. And she said, if you can come to my house, I'll work with you. I have a big workout area we can work in. So right there, a star who would invite strangers into her home to work with an animal said to me, she's a real dog lover. So a month before we started shooting, 3 days a week, twice a day in the morning, in the afternoon, we'd come and we'd work with her and taught her how to handle not just the Great Dane, because he's a sweet dog, but also to bond them. So she felt safe, he felt safe. So that the first day of shooting, when we started, it was like they were a real working pair. So when we started shooting, the relationship you saw on camera was not dog looking a trainer off camera doing something. I mean, he was really interacting with her. And she could modulate how much he listened or didn't listen just by the way she gave the commands. And so it created this, I think, a way of filmmaking for animal training that isn't often done. I can't imagine outside of the Lassie films or the Benji films.
Exactly.
That, you know, in modern day, we don't go this far, but we were able to do it. It was a beautiful experience. And as was happening, I'm watching the monitor saying to myself, this is really good. I've never seen anything like this. And again, we pulled every trick. I stole from the best. I stole from myself every trick that I've used over the last 45 years. I put it all in this film. And the last day of shooting, we were on a train and we were coming back to the city. And I remember Naomi was sitting up front and I said to the dog's owner, Bev, I said, we should go sit with her. This will be the last time she'll get to spend any time with him. And we did. And she was very grateful. We talked and laughed about the good times. And they dropped us off in Harlem, 125th Street train station on the street there. And there was a limo waiting for Naomi. And so we all get down in the street And we say goodbye, and she walks away. And we had taught him how to howl. And every time somebody left, we would have him howl. And so she's walking away. This is a movie in itself. She's walking away. He howls. She turns. She runs down 125th Street, hugs him, and cries.
Oh.
That's what you see in this production.
Because it was real. It was authentic. She fell in love with Apollo. That was his name in the movie. And you can see on screen how incredibly intense that bond was. This was not acting. This was real.
Yep. And in Hollywood, they would never do that. And so my experience in theater, all those things that I thought would work in a film arena, I was allowed to do and try. And I think it's paid off.
Just to see the bond makes us feel so good to know that there's now a story on the big screen that really exemplifies that connection that we have to our animals. And it was because of you. And then there's a scene on a boat where Bill Berlone is an extra. Obviously, you needed to be there. And they actually incorporated you into the film so you could continue your incredible training with Apollo.
Yep. Again, safety with a Great Dane on the streets of New York City or on a boat in the East River, first and foremost. And I remember saying to them, we always have to be within 6 to 10 feet of the dog at all times, wherever
right.
we are. And so when they set up the boat shot, they said, well, we're doing a drone. And I said, well, where can I hide? Well, you can't really be on deck. I said, well, then you don't have a dog in the shot. I mean, it was that cut and dry. So, okay, put me in a costume. I'll stand there. And there was another trainer with me. The gentleman standing next to me was also my trainer. So there were two of us there for safety. And there was a lot of, he loved Naomi. There's a scene where he's, and we don't want to give too much away. He's gotten upset and destroyed some things in the apartment.
Yeah.
And she comes in and discovers it and she screams, bad dog. And we set up the shot. And, you know, before she entered, I said, we have to take the dog off. They were like, why? I said, because if Naomi comes in and calls him a bad dog, it's going to break his heart. He will really think. And he'll be off for 2 days. He'll be just, but a lot of trainers, a lot of directors don't think of that stuff. So when you see it, yeah, it looks like she's yelling at him, but he really wasn't there.
Because you knew it would affect him so deeply.
Yep.
And that's what I mean about always worrying about the animal. And Naomi is a very petite person. And the dog is walking so beautifully with her and plays with her and engages with her and all of these things that this dog had to learn. And I think on one of the shows, Bill Murray was very upfront about saying, hey, the star of this film is Bing, who plays Apollo.
Yes, it's a beautifully written character in the book. It's a beautifully written character on film. What I have to remind the audience and everybody is that dogs don't act. They don't fake emotions. So wherever they are, whether they're on a stage on Broadway or in a scene, they're really feeling what they feel. So on a film set, it's okay to portray happiness. You can make a dog happy. But
right.
what happens when you have to make them frightened? What happens when you have to make them aggressive? What happens when you have to make them depressed? You can't put them in that state of mind for real because that would be cruel. So again, having some secrets on how to portray that. I'll give one of them away. You know, when we wanted him to look a little bit concerned, we'd set him into the shot on the bed or wherever he was. They'd roll the camera and I'd say to his owner, leave the room. And she'd leave the room and he'd get that big-eyed, like, what's going on look. You know, and you put that in a moment in which the story sort of set calling for that. And it works perfectly. So everything he feels when he's depressed, he's really happily doing something that looks like he's depressed.
Unbelievable. And for almost a year, you actually rented a house. You moved away from your home. You
yep.
literally lived with the other trainer, the owner, and the dog day in and day out. It is a labor of love and such an incredible testament to you and your training. And on a final note, we've talked about this before. There really should be Oscar nominations for animals because Bing would be getting a Best Actor on Four Legs Award next year. Don't you agree?
I do. But it stems from the industry itself. I mean, animals are props. I report to the head of the property department. They're put in the props department. So already we're categorized as inanimate things that we just use on the set. So when they do start going above that title, yeah, they'll take it, but they won't acknowledge it. So within the industry, they keep us sort of contained. And then I just feel like if we pointed out that animals are sentient and that they could work and they can entertain us, it might get people to thinking about their pets or how they treat other animals. You know, I mean, if if we could be role models and say, look at these wonderful creatures, they deserve accolades, they deserve to be treated well, that just says to the rest of society, well, maybe we should do that in real life. That's what I see an award saying, you know, more than anything else.
And it's so important to get that message across. Bill, you are truly doing God's work, and we're so happy you're here with us today.
Well, if we're doing God's work, you're reporting it. So that's the important thing, that people know about it. The incredible Jill Rappaport to the rescue.
Everyone, please go out, see the friend, bring some tissues with you. And thank you all for joining us today at Rappaport to the Rescue.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.